Continuing on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all these things, all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The word of the Lord. I realize reading this text, it can be kind of confusing. All within chapter 1 of Luke, we have two announcements of births. We have two people being kind of confused, like, how could I bear a child? We have two babies being born. We have two songs being sung in response. It can be easy to kind of get it all mixed up, right? Like, wait, I thought Mary was the one having the baby. I thought his name was Jesus and not John. Well, today we read of John the Baptist's birth, the one who came before the Lord, as it says, to prepare his way. And today, just like we saw last week, today we read another song. We read another Christmas song, if you will. Again, many of you might not like Christmas music. It might be like a terrible noise in your ears when you walk into a shop and hear the pop Christmas songs going on. Maybe you love Christmas music. And with all the kind of bad Christmas songs out there, there's some good Christmas songs to sing. Many of the hymns that we sing together today and at our Christmas Eve service, all the rich truths within. This is an amazing Christmas song. And last week we saw Mary's song that she sang called the Magnificat. These songs are all titled according to the first word in the song, after the Latin word. The song today, sung by Zechariah, called the Benedictus, or the Blessing, as he says, "Blessed be God, the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." So first we look at the many parallels between this song and the song sung by Mary. As I said, Gabriel came to both people and announced that they would be with child. Both thought this would be impossible. Mary being a virgin, Zechariah and Elizabeth being barren and in their old age. How can this be? Unfortunately for Zechariah, in the first part of chapter 1, we read that because of his doubt, he was silenced. The angel shut up his mouth for the whole time until the baby was born. As it says here in verse 64, he wrote and said, his name is John. And immediately his mouth was opened and he started blessing God. Have you ever had a day where you've just been home by yourself, or you have been in, maybe you were sick, or maybe you had nothing to do and you were by yourself all day? Maybe you made it through most of the day and you realized that you hadn't said a word yet. You've just had a nice, quiet day. Maybe nice, maybe not. Maybe we've all had those lonely days where we find ourselves not saying anything to anybody. It can be lonely, it can be hard. Sometimes those are good spaces for us in quiet. I encourage you, the next time you feel lonely or quiet, see it as an invitation from God to silence your heart, to humbly open yourself to what he might be saying to you. Sometimes those quiet times can be where we meet God. Imagine Zechariah. He was quiet for a whole year. He doubted God. He doubted the angel's word of his son's birth. Luke chapter 1. The angel says, "Behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in time." What did Zechariah think about for a whole year when he couldn't talk? He couldn't open his mouth. He probably reran the prophecy from the angel over and over again. He probably learned sign language. He started writing on tablets as his wife brought a tablet for him, as they brought a tablet for him to write the name of his son. Imagine what he thought about. If you've been quiet for a long time, it kind of helps you think about, what am I going to say? If you have little words to speak, they should count for a lot. Sometimes the most wise thing to do is to be silent, to let others speak, to contemplate. What does Zechariah say after a year of being silent? Verse 64, "And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God." Probably this song that we read this morning is what came out of his mouth. Just blessing and praising God. Singing to God. Singing what we now know as a Christmas song. Another parallel is the Spirit was living and active in this moment. If you read Genesis 1, you read that the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters at creation. The Spirit of God was active in creation. That's another sermon for another time, but the Godhead, three in one, all participating, all creating, all making beauty out of nothing. The Spirit hovering. And so too, the Spirit is active in this creation account. It's fun to see the parallels between the beginning of the Gospels and the beginning of God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how John starts his Gospel. A lot of same language. And just as the Spirit was active in the beginning in creation, so the Spirit is moving and active and hovering in this Luke chapter 1. The angel promises that Elizabeth will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the son that she is going to bear will be with the Holy Spirit. Same with Mary and baby Jesus. Last week we looked at the account where Mary and Elizabeth met. They both have babies in their womb, and one baby leaps for joy and is filled with the Spirit in the presence of the baby Jesus. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And here, once Zechariah believes and once the baby is born, his mouth is loosed, he is filled with the Spirit, and he prophesies these words. The Spirit is living and is hovering and is active in this amazing creation story. So as we look through this song, we see that God is the one who fulfills his promises. This song shows us that God fulfills his promises and he brings joy to his people. It can be easy to just read through this song, and it's like any other Hebrew poetry. It's kind of like a psalm. It can be easy to kind of get lost in all the words. How do we read this? I'm inviting us to look at the characters and the different roles that go on in this song. So the first part, verses 68 through 75. He's blessing God. He's thinking about God's character. He's really speaking to the people, though. God fulfills his promise. God is the one who has visited his people. Emmanuel, the song we sing, God with us. God has visited his people. God has redeemed his people. Verse 69, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Thinking about the prophecy of Malachi and the idea that salvation, the horn is raised up in celebration of victory. This has happened through the fulfillment of the servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies, to show the mercy. God has shown mercy. God has remembered his covenant, his oaths, his promise, linking this back to Abraham, back to the big promise where he will bless the world through his seed. God fulfills his promise. God then, it then says, another character that we see in the song is our own selves. God fulfills his promise and brings joy to his people. What's the end result of all this? Verse 74, that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. To have joy is to know that we are freed from our fears. To have joy is to know that we can serve God in holiness and righteousness. And then at this point in the song, Zechariah switches and he focuses on the newborn child. And you, child, speaking of John here, you will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, and the forgiveness of their sins. Even in this song, we realize that John is just a trailblazer, if you will, one who is clearing the path for another one who will come behind him. He's a prophet, almost like a figure like Elijah. He is an informant, letting people know that the day is coming, the day of the Lord is coming, almost like a siren, an alert system. And so we too, in this season of Advent, we rekindle our hearts. We remember God's invitation. We remember the call to repent and to open our hearts to the Lord. Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Again, thinking about God's role in all this, he visits us, he redeems us, he saves us. He has mercy on us. He remembers his covenant. He is compassionate toward us. And I love how it says it. The sunrise shall visit us from on high. God raises the sunlight. This is a quote. This is pointing towards the child to be born that we remember on Christmas. Jesus, the sunrise, the sunlight of God, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. It's pretty amazing to know that 30 years before Jesus did his public ministry, Zechariah was singing the song, saying God will raise his sunshine. The sunshine shall visit us from on high. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not be in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what's our role in all this? This is a song that we can sing to ourselves this Christmas. It's a song that we can sing to one another. God is for us. God fulfills his promise and brings joy to his people. That is the message of Christmas. And wherever you're at, wherever your family members are at, wherever those who are suffering and hurting around you are at, You can remind them of the real, true Christmas songs. One that we magnify God's name because he has magnified us. As Mary sang, as we looked at last week, God is mindful of the humble. He magnifies the humble. Nothing is impossible with him. We can sing this song with Zechariah, blessing God because he has visited us and redeemed us and remembers us. Finally, our role is to receive from God the joy that he brings us. As I mentioned, to receive the joy of God, verse 74, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Zechariah is pretty formal here when he says that deliverance of enemies, he's pretty formal. There's no specifics given. And surely there was political difficulty and political deliverance that they rested in and found hope in. But so too, this is a spiritual truth. And as Christians, we can read about being delivered from our enemies. Our enemies being anything that hinders us from serving God without fear. What are you afraid of? What is something that brings you fear that hinders your freedom in Christ? What is something that you're afraid of that hinders yourself from having this joy? That too is a spiritual enemy. It's something that God delivers us from. He gives us the light of life that we, who were those sitting in darkness, may be shown the way. And he guides our feet into the way of peace. So let us sing this song this Christmas. God fulfills his promise, and he brings joy to his people. Amen.